In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Gabriel, the archangel, the servant of God, his name means strength of God. For example, Ethiopians might call themselves Gabra Selassie. Okay? Selassie, they're trying to say Thalus. Thalus. And so Gabra means the strength of the Trinity. So you might meet a priest named Gabra Selassie. He comes to a virgin who is betrothed. Now, think about how perfect it always is, the way that God creates a situation. I've told you this story before, that someone began to scandalize Saint Mary because she was pregnant, and Joseph said, it wasn't me. And so they're thinking, is this a woman of ill repute? It would have been much more so a scandal had she not been betrothed. But she was betrothed. And she was betrothed to an old man. This is in preparation for getting married. It's a stage. People lived together in those days when they were betrothed. They used to do this in American culture. They would even have the man and the woman sleep together with a board between them. It's called trundling. T-R-U-N-D-E-L-I-N-G. I believe that's what it is. Trundling. It's a trundle bed. And they would find out if they like each other. Now, of course, the idea was that this board was going to keep them pure. I don't know if that worked, but I wasn't there, so I'm gonna leave them the benefit of the doubt. This group of people that decided that, but it was a, you know, think about how many times you have heard of marriages where once the people got together, they said, "Who is this that I married?" Or I thought this, and it didn't turn out to be so. One man was complaining to me that his wife was just really messy, and he couldn't believe it. And I said, well, wait a minute. What did her mother's house look like? Oh, it was really messy. And so you thought she was going to be neat? But for this very reason, people were betrothed. Can we live together? And again, it was preparatory for marriage. So according to church tradition, St. Mary was and St. Joseph were given the test of jealousy. That would occur if any man thought that his wife had been unfaithful. And it always went in that direction, the men thinking the wife was the one who was at fault. And they would take some of the dust from the floor of the sanctuary of the temple, and they would put it into a cup with water, and they'd let them drink and make a vow. And if they lied, then they would become, it says that their inner thigh would rot. I believe that was what we would call incontinence. I'm not certain, but that would ensue. Anyway, they took they went through this trial, according to some traditions. And she and Saint Joseph were found to be pure. But the Lord knew all of these things. He knew the mind of all of the people, and he made at each step a way for her to maintain her dignity and for the fullness of the grace of this new birth to be something that would enhance all people. The angel said to her, "Hail to you, or rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." And St. Mary was afraid when she saw him. And the angel comforted her and said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. Do not be afraid." She was young. Think about about your age, Rachel. Think about the angel of God coming to you. The angel of God was not 5'6". The angel of God was magnificent. And yet, his posture, if you see it, if you see in any picture of the Annunciation, there's a slight genuflection to his knee, as in a semi-bow. You know, angels are before the Lord at all time. They see the greatness of the Lord at all time. And when he is in front of her, it is rather the angel that should be afraid and not Saint Mary. Because she is going to be the mother of God. And she is the highest of all things created. But she was not fearful in the sense of, I don't want this thing to happen to me because I am afraid of the weight. It was just the newness of the thing that was proposed that prevented her from her quietude. But the angel goes on and says how this is going to be done. We have the overshadowing of St. Mary. I guess the iconographers before, they couldn't figure out how to show this. How would you show that the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Holy Virgin and she became with child? How are you going to show that? It does not have any precedent, you know. And so we designed this with the mandorla. The gold shows the glory of God. The silver leaf is the Holy Spirit. And the gold on the inner side, of the inside, is to show the divinity of Christ. And then, of course, there is the golden censer where her womb would be. And these things are very important elements in our worship. Because when the Lord says that he is going to accomplish something, there may be confusion in our mind, but there should not be the kind of fear that is something that we want to push away from. That kind of trepidation. That is wrong. That did not infuse the Holy Virgin. She was very strong, despite being so young. And she, again, for not just her, but for the edification of everyone, her cousin Saint Elizabeth, who was a very old woman, had also become with child. And this was to show that out of season or in season, whatever it was that the Lord had ordained would come to fruition. And the angel said, "For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said the most yielding and compliant thing. You know, what does anybody give to God? You know, you give your will. But more than you give your will to God in that sort of submission, you can, if you wish, give your whole body. You can give your whole body through virginity. Some people are not virgins when they give their body. But you can give your body through monasticism. You can give your body through toiling, as some iconographers do, or as some theologians do. Some were scribes, and they would copy Bibles by hand, and they gave up their whole life for this work. You can give yourself. Today, if you find yourself married and with children, and you have a job, and you have time restrictions, and all kinds of impingements, and even if you are old, you can give yourself to God. Giving yourself to God is something that is so precious. It's like when you hear someone genuinely say to you, "I love you," and you know there's not a doubt in your mind that love is true. That cements you to that person in a way that is difficult to be broken. Very difficult to be broken. So when the Lord, through his angel, his servant Gabriel, had said all that he said, the Holy Virgin said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." Imagine that. So submissive. Not submissive because she did not have ambitions of her own. She knew all about the normal human generation. She said to the angel, "How can I become pregnant? I don't know a man." That means I have not lain with any man. How is this going to be? She knew all of the things that everybody her age would be expected to know. She'd seen many things, as anybody that age would have, we would expect to have as a part of their knowledge. And they could then, as all people do, daydream about the sort of life that they were going to live. What was the precedent for her? Was she given to a house of women? No, she was taken into the temple. Completely populated by men. And she was removed from the temple when she became a woman. But she was raised in a particular way, in a way that was at one time very harsh through its isolation, but very beautiful with the intent of purifying. When you are purified, it always hurts. May I say this to you clearly? If you want to change anything about yourself, it will cause you pain. It will cause you pain. I was just talking to somebody this morning before church, and I said, "I've been trying to lose the last 30 pounds for the last 15 years, and the most I've ever lost is 10. And then as soon as I lose the 10, whoosh, it goes right back up, and I've been trying to lose 30 pounds. Get this in your heads. 30 pounds, that's not that much. 30 pounds. And in 15 years, I haven't been able to do it. I have lost quite a bit of weight from my highest, but it's not where I wanted to end up. And I'll tell you if I ever make it. As a matter of fact, I'll be dancing outside the church if I ever make it. But it comes with pain. It comes with pain. So if you live in this perfect situation, as St. Mary did, this wonderful spiritual life that formed her, there were other things that she knew that other people did. And could I not do that? Could I not try that? Have you ever seen the story about the Amish? They have a year when they let the kids who were raised in a very strict environment from Pennsylvania. They are allowed to go into the world and to test everything that they want for 1 year. And then they come back and they make a decision. Do I want to live as Amish or do I want to live as a secular? This is why, by the way, the Amish have a subgroup called the Mennonites. And the Mennonites are extremely strict, but they're like a step down in their rigidity from the Amish. For example, the Amish, you can't have a telephone or a television or a radio because it's not in the Bible. And these kids, you see them trying to put their foot in the water. They have a headscarf, and they look a lot like American Muslims. If Americans had Muslims, that's what they would look like. Long sleeves, collars tied up to the neck, very long dresses all the way. You don't even see the ankle. And you don't see their hair. The hair is tied up, and like the Orthodox Jews, the women. And then they come and there's a party. And everybody else is dressed as you've seen people at parties. And then they look the way that they look. It's really difficult. And that transition comes with pain. So I want you to think about, because it's never spoken of, except at the end, when it says, "My bowels were ablaze when I behold the crucifixion which you endured for the sake of us all, O my King and my God." Oh, my Lord and my God. You don't hear about St. Mary's pain. Nobody ever speaks about St. Mary's pain. But she was not immune. She was not isolated, and God did not protect her from that. And so you have to think, though, in your own lives, how could she have been what she was? How could God have chosen this person for her characteristics, and we not give ourselves over ample time to meditate upon what those internal characteristics of her were? We must need, men or women, to incorporate that sort of spirituality into our lives so that we can change. Now, I have a very poor reason for wanting to lose 30 pounds. I'm diabetic, so it will help me a little bit there, but I really don't care about that. And I've got skeletal pain. If I lose 30 pounds, it's a good thing for that. But that's not really why I'm doing it. It's mostly for aesthetics. I just don't like the way I look. Now, that's a terrible reason for doing anything. And it's what leads some people to getting tattoos. It leads some people to coming up with odd hues of hair coloring. I saw a woman yesterday with absolutely the most purple hair I've ever seen on any toy. It happened to be a human being, but it was nonetheless striking. And people do things like that. They augment themselves in certain ways that they think is going to set them apart or make them more attractive, and that really was what was at the basis. I'm ashamed of that. I'm ashamed of that. And maybe that's why for the last 15 years God has not given me the grace to be able to lose the last 30 pounds. And just to let you know, I've lost 75. So it's not like I don't have experience. But if I go down 30 pounds, I'm 210, I should go down to 180. That's how much I weighed when I was 24, 23. It's how much I weighed when I got married. It's how much I weighed when I became a priest. 180 pounds. And at my height, or my depth, at the lowest point, I weighed 285. I'm 210 now, so I've lost 75 pounds. 30 to go. 30 to go. So the Lord will do with me as He will, and I will keep trying. I hope I do not continue to fail. I only make this personal, not to share with you something that is spoken of out of superfluity, but I'm telling you this because whatever it is that is in your life, whatever it is that is bothering you, if you really want to change, change is possible, but expect pain. Expect pain. You know, we're going to celebrate Gio's birthday in church, and then as soon as we finish doing that, a bunch of us are going to Fatty and Jocelyn's in Seal Beach, and we're going to celebrate Gabriella. And there's going to be cake at both places, and ice cream. And that's where the pain comes in. Because how hard am I going to have to work in order to get rid of not being a party pooper? And people always are generous with the priest, overly generous. That's why Pope Shenouda said about one priest, he said, his stomach is expanding faster than his service. But it's generosity. It's generosity. So I leave you with this last thing. And I'm sorry I've spoken so long. St. Mary had characteristics that we need to emulate. We need to meditate and really look at the subtlety of her response and of her inner soul, because in the next part of Luke, after verse 38, you hear the Magnificat, and it's she magnifies the Lord, and it's to have this kind of love inside you and to have this clear vision inside you of who the Lord was, and without seeing Him enthroned, without, it's amazing. It's an amazing, amazing insight. We have the benefit of all of these things. We have been told by eyewitnesses of all these things. And we must work as hard as we can to embrace them, to embody them, and to let them be the engine that drives us to a more complete and full representation of followers of Christ. Glory be to His holy name, both now and ever, to the age of all.